There, thanks to especially AirLink and also to the Wim Creek Hotel. Good morning, Peter, if you're listening out there with all your mates. Thanks very much for looking after us in normal fashion up there. I do remember everything that occurred this year, however. And thanks to Hospitality Inns, too, because all of those people looked after us in the Northwest, as did all the members of the Black Rock Stakes Committee. And good morning to you, Brent Rudler. I hope you're well as well. Shortly, we're going to be talking with a man who single-handedly, or with his two legs, ran the whole 120 kilometres... on his own, pushing a wheelbarrow with a load of iron ore in the front. Is he crazy or what? He's certainly fitter than I am. But we'll talk about that shortly. Also, we'll cross to Tasmania, where there's been another multiple tragedy. Go to the detention centre, where they've got the boat people holed up in Port Hedland. I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a moment. But one of the novelty reasons I went to Port Hedland was to attend, to be the starter and finisher of the annual, the 27th annual Black Rock Stakes. What are the Black Rock Stakes? Well, that's where teams, and in this case a lone runner this year, push a load of iron ore on a wheelbarrow, which is becoming quite... The wheelbarrows are not like you normally know wheelbarrows. They're fashioned to be sleek at the moment. They push them 120 kilometres from Wim Creek Hotel, which is a quite interesting place, all the way to Port Hedland. Now, most of the teams include about 12 people or so, round about that, dependent on age, the primary school, high school teams, ladies, gents, vets, and a whole lot. But one bloke decided he'd do it on his own this year, and I think it was one of the most remarkable athletic performances I have seen. His name is David Osborne, and he is a lecturer at Curtin University in Kalgoorlie. G'day, David.
How you going?
More importantly, how are your legs going?
Well, I was late to get to this phone today, so for the last 500 metres I jogged in, and they're working reasonably well.
I would have thought you'd shuffle in today.
I managed 500 metres reasonably well, but I won't be doing much running more than 500 metres for the next couple of weeks.
David, why'd you do it?
Well, because I wanted to do some research for university, and also because I'm a recreation lecturer, I wanted to cover alternative recreational events.
This is very alternative.
It was very, yeah. And I also wanted to actually fill the event, so not just cover it, but actually do the event, and then document it, and then with the documentary, sell the documentary to cover my efforts.
All right, we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, solo, what training did you do to prepare yourself for a 120-kilometre run on the highway? You're on the bitumen all the way, pushing a wheelbarrow.
All right, okay. Well, normally I just get up in the morning and run 15 k's with my dogs. That's just my normal everyday training.
I bet you didn't do that today.
Well, that's what I just do anyway. And every other week I would put in a maybe heavy duty amount of kilometres, like an extra couple of runs during the week. And so sometimes I'd get up to maybe even up to 200 k's some weeks in preparation for this particular event. But I didn't, and I made a mistake, I didn't practice with a wheelbarrow at all.
Is that the first time you picked up a wheelbarrow?
First time since I did an event last year, which was 18.5k, it's called the Belzano race.
Yeah, that's in Kalgoorlie, up in the Goldfields, is it?
That's it, and when I completed that race, I said I'd never, ever do that again, because when you're pushing the wheelbarrow flexes at the front, and your feet are flexing out to the rear, your arms are by your side, and if you try running along with your arms stuck to your side, pushing the wheelbarrow, it's tough. And after that race, I said, I'd just never do this again. And then, of course, it's always the wrong thing to say to me that there's another race that's harder, because it just nurtures that idea that maybe I should really have done the hardest race before I actually decide to pack up.
Yeah. Well, I well know that you started at 3 a.m. from the Wim Creek Hotel. What was it like running out into the open, the virtual desert with a highway down the middle of it, in the middle of the night? What was that like?
Well, actually, that was great. That was just the most awesome feeling to be alone on the highway. And I had a plan. I had a heart rate monitor on, and I wanted to keep to 123 beats for my heart rate. I wanted to keep to 7.6 kilometres per hour. So I had it all worked out exactly what I wanted to do. And I was alone on the highway with just my thoughts and what I wanted to do. And I felt really good. So the first 40 k's was feeling very good.
Yeah, well, you weren't quite alone. There were a bit of wildlife around, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the roos were attracted. They all wanted to bump into the wheelbarrow. I mean, it's just amazing. I was in the car. I wasn't going too quick, but yet they still wanted to hop into me. So, yeah, plenty of wildlife there. And but it's an awesome feeling. And anyone who drives along at night and is also doing some exercise at night through that sort of wilderness, it's awesome.
They say when you run a marathon, at some stage you hit the wall. Well, you ran the equivalent of about 3 marathons pushing the wheelbarrow. How far out did you hit the wall?
Okay, right. Well, for the first 40, I was feeling really good, but I looked at my heart rate monitor, and I was actually operating at 140 beats per minute, and I just couldn't believe how well I was feeling and about how hard I was working. Consider that my resting pulse rate is normally 35, and so I was really pushing. And also, by about 40 Ks, I was 10 kilometres further than I actually wanted to have been at that stage.
Yeah, we were amazed. We couldn't believe you'd cover that distance.
Yeah, well, I was amazed. Psychologically, I was on a high, and it's an endorphine release, and I was just feeling really good. And then daylight appeared, and the wind hit, and it was right into my face.
Yeah, it was an easterly. Terrible.
And I was just working. I started to pull money or energy out of the bank for the next 40 Ks, but I still felt with a bit of pain I could do it. When I got to about 60, 70 Ks, I had hit bankruptcy, and I was starting to pull reserves from the bank. And I just explained to the listeners what I mean by bankruptcy or the wall. It was just so tender to put my feet on the ground to keep moving. I found it hard to speak to people when they asked me for water. It was hard to move my eyes from one side or the other. And I was in a psychological state where I just could have just knelt down and wept. It was just so hard.
So did it cross your mind that you wouldn't make it?
Yep. For a long period of time.
Yeah. What sort of sustenance did you have?
Okay, well, I've got to thank one guy for this. I did get some Isosport from Berry Fruit Juice, and that's Mr. Ian Tate. He supplied that for me, and the rest of it was basically water. I just was too tired to even eat.
What was it like when you got to Port Ellen, when you actually saw the finish line up the end of the street there?
Well, there was a guy with me called Howard Sattler who...
Yeah, that was a really good idea, me walking the last kilometre with you and saying, oh, I'll just skip ahead and get to the finish line and flag you in. Little did I know that you had a bit in reserve and you almost beat me there.
Well, that was it. I saw you running and I thought, well, look, if you said to me that is your running, I thought, well, my dogs must be studying Shakespeare right now. You know, that wasn't any running style that I'd seen before, and I thought, well, I'll just G you up a bit. Mm-hmm. So I pushed on right behind you, and I noticed as you turned around, your eyes were going, oh my God, he's going to beat me to the line.
How embarrassing.
So, I gave you a chase, and it was great. A great feeling, and I must say that for anyone who has never seen this sort of event before, I had, like, every man and their dog getting out of their cars to support me. The road trains were slowing down. Mm. They were, everyone was going, keep it going, you're doing well. So it was really quite an emotional event.
It was, too. Just before you go, David, on the other line's Teresa Gibbs. She's the spokesperson for the Golden Girls. They are my favourite team. How are you going, Teresa?
Good, thanks, Howard. Good, not too bad at all.
How'd you like to have done it alone like David, eh?
Look, he's a legend. I don't think there's anyone else in this town or anywhere else who could do it. I mean, he's just absolutely marvellous.
Yeah, got a great response. Well, Teresa, how'd the Golden Girls pull up this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. I spoke to a couple this morning and everybody's okay. A little bit of stiffing in the legs, but besides that, we're all okay. I think as the more times you do it, well, I don't know if it gets any easier, but you don't seem to tighten up as much.
And you broke your best time, your previous best time, by 15 minutes. You ran 8 hours, 28 minutes, 37. David, by the way, took 15 hours, 4 minutes, 47, but he did it all on his own. So I think that's probably as a result of me starting you off and finishing you, don't you think, Teresa?
I would have to have been. You did a good job for us, Howard.
Yeah, I ran the first 200 Ks. It nearly killed me, I've got to tell you.
First 200...
Oh, no, that was metres.
Metres, yeah. I was saying, okay. Yes, it did. We just were hoping that you didn't stop the barrow because that would have been in trouble for us. I thought, oh, my God, look, he's just collapsing.
I know, terrible. Well, well done, the Golden Girls, again, and you'll be back next year. David, fantastic. Well done, and of course, we've only got a couple of seconds left, but give us the details of what happens to the documentary, and we'll publicise it, okay?
Okay, well, we'll do that. Can I just say thank you to David Nesky from Osborne Truck Rentals and Mr. Johnson from Ever Ready Batteries for helping me out?
Of course you can.
Right.
Take care. You take care, Teresa, and I'll be there again next year.
Okay, see you then, Howard.
Thanks a lot. Well done to all those who participate in the Black Rock Stakes up in Port Hedland, and tomorrow I'm going to lift the lid further on the... Port Hedland Detention Centre, because I've got to tell you all about it tomorrow. We're going to have an interview, and also watch Channel 7 News tonight, anybody here in Perth, because they're interested in the tape that I took. So we're going to see a bit about that as well. I'll be back after the news.
6PR Southern Cross Network News for Hyundai Sonata GLE with free air.